Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio.
Well, I'll tell you, we've had an amazing time the last couple of days. We had J. Anthony Sanchez, Harvard-trained lawyer, was corporate lawyer, now, I guess, public citizen lawyer. We had yesterday an amazing discussion with Jerome. Jerome Bell. Thank Greg. I'm not good with names, okay? If I don't talk to you for 2 weeks, I forget your name. That's just a Greg rule. Anyway, so Jerome Bell was on yesterday. He's a candidate for Congress from Virginia. So I've been over-prepped, overdone, over-questioned. I think I had at least 4 to 5 times the amount of questions that we actually got to in both of those discussions with both of those gentlemen. But it's going to be interesting to follow up because Jay, I hope, will do some legal stuff, help some friends of mine, and work with our bills. And Jerome is interested in actually running on some of our citizen legislation or incorporating that into his program. So there's a lot of really exciting things happening here that we will be the ideas factory for conservatives, independents, libertarians, patriots. You know, this is what I always envision Action Radio to be, because, you know, if there's anything deplorable about us, as Hillary says, the only thing that's really deplorable is the deplorable lack of ideas, of curiosity, of solutions, of pushing the bounds. And it's one thing to be conservative, to conserve what is. It's another thing to be conservative to the point where actually nothing really happens. Gene, I hear you in the background, so let's bring you into the conversation here. And then I'll get to David after I introduce our topic here. Gene, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning.
On?
How are you?
I'm doing okay. You sound kind of like you're in sort of a tunnel there, so we have to either get you closer to the mic or change your sound around a little bit. I don't know where you are, but if you listen to the show, you'll hear what I'm talking about next time. But yeah. So what did you think of the last couple of days? It's been pretty interesting around here.
That it is. It's pretty interesting on what's going on in the country and the world, you know? So it's like, wow. Yeah.
Okay. So there are very few things that really totally disgust me. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, obviously, you know, the problems of the world, the hassles, but every once in a while something comes along that is so needlessly stupid, so needlessly cruel, so needlessly, you know, in your face. It reflects an attitude of incredible apathy, of misplaced priorities, of things that, you know, there's just no reason for this to happen, but it appears to be happening. And that is the fact that Jen, just mute your line for a little bit. We're getting a little bit of background there, so let me just hold off for a second here. A friend of mine told me that some of our service dogs, our military dogs, were being left in Afghanistan, and I hadn't heard anything about this. This is either yesterday or late. Anyway, I think it was yesterday, early yesterday. And of course, you know me, I have to go searching for it, and I found some stories said yes, some stories said no, and I thought, okay, well, this is interesting. What's really going on here? And then I got something from Gateway Pundit. And I saw a story last night on One American News, and I've got one this morning that there's a group. And I'll probably go over this after we talk to David. I've got a ton of news this morning. Anyway, so I'm looking at this. I'm thinking to myself, well, why the hell would they leave the dogs behind? And then it occurred to me, Muslims don't like dogs. And so if you're the Obama administration, who's sort of channeling through Biden, you know, using him as the white face of the Obama administration, you know, part three, and you're bringing in, you know, 100,000 illegal Afghanis to drop into, you know, middle America to bring Sharia law to this country and destroy it, and which is what Obama's been doing pretty much since he took office, bringing Muslims into the country, then it makes perfect sense that you wouldn't want to offend those Muslims by actually bringing dogs next to them, you know, even though those dogs, you know, the person that, actually the dog that got al-Baghdadi, you know, was a service, you know, that's what caused that to happen. All right. Dogs do amazing things that people can't do. I mean, they're every bit a part of the military as the soldiers, you know, and it's fascinating. Americans love dogs. I'm sorry. We just do. Okay. Millions of Americans have dogs, and the fact that they're leaving them behind, of all the things to leave behind, you leave behind your dogs. This to me shows a callousness beyond all reason. There is no reason for this happening. It's just, I don't know. This is why I wanted to go over it a little bit. I mean, I got a ton of news. Normally on Wednesdays, we do a bunch of news. We do the Not Ready for Facebook vaccine report, where I report all the things that obviously I can't publish on Facebook. And, of course, the election correction report with all the election audit information and things like that. All right, let's make my folks live again. I'm going to bring Gene back and bring David Jones in the conversation, too. So we have David scheduled this time. David Jones is a co-founder of Santa Rosa Volunteers. And Santa Rosa Volunteers are a great sponsor here at Action Radio. And you can get them at srv1776.com. I think I said too many. I always get so. I just do it this way, srv1776.com. It's the one way I can get it right. So I have a new Founding Moments report. I've got the Anti-Federalist Four written by Patrick Henry, which is absolutely brilliant and totally destroys Federalist Four by John Jay. The elitist snob who, believed that the more government, the better, and that's why he ended up running the Supreme Court. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, enough about me. Let's get to David and see what's going on in the world with Santa Rosa Volunteers. And we had an event last Friday, and our bill, and this is a whole bunch of things I want, and whatever David wants to talk about from Santa Rosa Volunteers. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I think I'm recovering from, post-interview over-preparedness because, like I say, we had two huge interviews, both Monday and Tuesday. And so I'm thinking to myself, I kind of want to get back to normal, talk about some stories, talk to the callers, get back organized here with things that are going on. But these two, I think, are going to be very interesting. Aspiring Congressman Jerome Bell is seriously looking at our legislation and some of the things that we're doing here. And if we can start getting our bills into congressional campaigns, that's going to be huge for Action Radio and huge for people, because the impact that we'll be able to have, as Action Radio, as I always intended, is going to be pretty strong. And so that's why I'm really excited about what's been happening the last couple of days here. Yeah.
That's excellent. We've been making some strides with that, our bill as well.
What's going on?
Well, I talked to James Calkins. That's pretty much our inside. He's the one that's back in this in the county.
Okay.
And he was wanting to – they're going through some administrative changes. They're changing the county attorney, changing the county administrative staff. We had some bad apples there. So he – shown it to the current attorney, but he's going to reintroduce it once they get the new attorney in there and see that we can we're capable, I guess. They're not going to get sued over it, but he kind of made the same comments as both of us have said when we're challenging those Supreme Court rulings. He kind of welcomes that challenge and that lawsuit we can get over. Yeah.
That's really encouraging. See, this is why you're so invaluable to Action Radio, and hopefully I can help you as much in the same way, but these are the things I don't know. And so as soon as I hear about an attorney, I think, oh no, they're in the club. They're going to look at this and go, you can't say anything against the Supreme Court. In fact, that was one of the most fascinating things about my interview yesterday with Jerome Bell is the assumptions that a Supreme Court decision can't be challenged, that only a constitutional amendment can change a Supreme Court decision. And I don't fault him for that. That's common wisdom, common knowledge. I did a whole video on that, the seven most important minutes of the Kavanaugh hearing, where actually Lindsey Graham, one of the rare moments of clarity and pro-Americanness, took him on, and rightly so. I'll send you that video. I don't know if you've seen it yet. But if we have an attorney that's actually willing to, that understands that what we're talking about with asset forfeiture as opposed to immigration law, and the federal government isn't supreme in that area either. They are in naturalization law, but not not people coming into the country. And so the sovereignty of our county, this is going to be revolutionary. If this works out the way I think it's going to, we need to talk to that attorney. And if you can ask them if they want to talk to me, and you privately off the air, or if they want to come on the show, it should be even better. Let's discuss these things. I like to discuss as much as possible on the air, because that way people can hear it. We are what the government is not, transparent. We're actually, we're not hiding any of our arguments. We're not doing anything in secret. Everything we do is out in the open. So if you want to challenge it, feel free. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. We'll fix it. But I think we're right on this one, which is why I'm going ahead with it. But yeah, tell me about the attorney. Tell me about Calkins. I'm intrigued now. You've got my attention.
Yeah. So the new attorney coming in, and he didn't divulge his name. So I'm I guess the county doesn't want that information out there yet. But
yeah,
the way James, I guess James Calkin is, like I said, who's kind of our rep on this. He's obviously on board. Bob Cole has shown some very strong interest in it, as well as Parker showing mild interest in it. So with just those three, we have at least 50% of the county. So I think we got a really good shot. We still got some hurdles to jump through. I'm not sure what kind of changes or language they're going to want to change in the bill, so we'll definitely have those debates. But I think we got a really strong chance of getting this implemented here in Santa Rosa County, which will be great.
Excellent. Because we should advertise it. We should promote this. We should get this in press releases. We should tell other media what's going on here. And this is, you know, the best thing that can happen, ironically, is for the left to scream at us, saying you can't do this, because then everybody's going to find out, because they're going to publicize it like crazy. They will do our work for us, and it's going to be fascinating to watch. And then other counties, you know, we can get it to Republican statewide groups and national groups and the Tea Party, and we can, and all the folks that are trying to do, you know, good things, but don't have the ideas yet. This, because it's so simple, and because it's so, you know, logical in terms of we use local enforcement to do this, you know, within our county. We're not you know, usurping the powers of the state or the powers of the federal government. I think it's kind of neat the way it's all working out. So, and the fact that we have three, you know, members of our county commission on board with this. Now, there's six total, right?
Correct.
Okay. So if you have a decision, you really need to be, it's like all decisions are 4-2, you know, so in other words, for a majority, you need 4 of the 6, which actually is good. And that's the way the Supreme Court used to be. And so that all decisions were 2/3, 1/3, which makes for better decisions, I think. But all it's going to take is one more person, you know, to come on board. Any speculations,
right,
or you want to go? Yeah, go ahead.
The other two really haven't voiced any sort of opinions or lenience either way. So it's not that the other three are in opposition and we have to bring them on board. They just literally haven't voiced any sort of opinion on it one way or the other.
And that's fine, actually. And, you know, and I would be surprised if they didn't amend it somewhat. I don't expect our legislation, anything that we do, to go through exactly as written. That's unrealistic. The question is, are they going to amend it so much that it takes away, you know, the meaning of what we're trying to do and still use the same title? You know, so if they turn it into a resolution and they just post signs outside our county, okay, that's unacceptable. All right. But if they have, because that's going to destroy the meaning of what we're doing, it takes all the teeth out of the bill, it removes the asset forfeiture, that would not be something we would support. I would actively campaign against it at that point. However, if they just want to make minor changes and, you know, do some different things and have different programs and, you know, figure out a better way to, you know, find out where folks are, and if it involves, you know, asset forfeiture, whatever procedures they are to do it, you know, then that's okay. I mean, that's their job. That's why we put this to legislatures. You know, but I see our job as being the inspiration, as doing things that they never would have thought of in a million years, and then presenting them with this and doing, like, you know, 98% of the work for them. And so that when it comes to the rest of it, they go, well, we can't do that. You know, and the county attorney says, you know, this, well, you have to modify this a little bit. And but you know, most of it's workable. Let's go ahead. That's what I'm looking for. You know, because I think that's a reasonable approach to what's going to happen. So let's see what they say. And they're welcome to come on the show. Or we can, I don't know, you should explain sunshine laws to me again, because this would help other people. We can't meet with three of the county commissioners at once, right? We'd have to meet with them individually, because otherwise it constitutes a meeting.
We could meet them. They just can't speak. They can't openly discuss anything that may come before them as a committee.
Okay.
So, if we wanted to get all, you know, two or three of them together and us talk to them, that would be okay. But they wouldn't be able to engage in a dialogue. We would have to get them on the show. They couldn't talk. But one at a time is fine. I've already invited James on. He hasn't gotten back to me with that yet, but I'm sure I'll get him on board with that at some point.
Well, let's invite Sam Parker and Bob Cole on individually. Let's see. And if we do it individually, I want them to be able to ask questions. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose.
Right.
And this would be good. And then we should alert other counties to what we're doing here, and especially the Tea Party and other groups, you know, in Florida, and say, hey, guess what? We've got a plan. It actually looks like it's advancing here pretty quickly. So that would be good. Yeah. I'm excited. This is great news. Thank you.
I got the bill to the Republican Executive Committee in Santa Rosa County as well.
Okay. What are they saying?
So the committee themselves, the committee people, didn't express a view on it, but the voting members, the precinct men and women in the county, cheered and absolutely loved it.
So, oh, really? This is a meeting or what? Yeah. I think I missed this one. What happened? Because my schedule's crazy.
This was it was actually the day before we wrote the bill, so I was kind of spitballing as to what it was going to be.
were you close?
Yeah. I was very close.
Okay, good.
I was very
right.
close.
Okay, excellent. I just find it funny. I'm sorry.
The chair people... the state mm-hmm. committeeman, state committeewoman, they're not going to have much ability to go against what the voting members of the county say. So we do have at least the voting members of the Republican Executive Committee behind this as well in Santa Rosa.
Okay. Are there any other groups, civic groups, conservative groups? You know, I know Facebook has various groups and things, but I see that mostly as, you know, meme posters and, you know, people, you know, keyboard warriors. But when it comes to actually doing something, we're actually doing something, you know, and the commissioners, this would be actually doing something. This would be, you know, revolutionary in our country, you know, especially since we just had 1,000 Afghanis dumped into our country and no one knows who they are. You know, and some of those people are going to come to Santa Rosa County, guarantee it, because they're coming to Florida. You know, and so this is a preemptive move, you know, not only for our southern border, but for all the Afghanis that were dumped in as the current insurrection in the White House, the coup is leaving Americans behind. And so this is something, just one more means of protecting ourselves, you know, against illegal aliens and burdening American citizens and lawful immigrants, you know, people that are supposed to be here who are invited here, who actually came legally. You know, this is a real protection for them, probably more than anybody else, simply because they did come here legally. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. There are a couple of different groups and clubs, I guess, that are active that don't just do the keyboard warrior thing.
Okay.
I'll introduce it to them. I've also got the lead of the Libertarian Party. I don't know how she would feel about this. Sometimes me and her disagree on certain topics, but she's very reasonable. I'll introduce it to her and see what she thinks about it.
Is that county or is that statewide Libertarian or can you tell me? I'm just curious.
That's county.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The problem I think you're going to find with the Libertarian philosophy in terms of border security is that they really believe in open borders. As I understand the position, if you just get rid of the welfare, if you get rid of the attractants, the magnets for illegal aliens to come here, then they won't be here. And that's too laissez-faire for me. You know, that's, you know, laissez-faire, hands off. I think we need something a lot stronger. I think we actively need to make it impossible for illegal aliens to live here so they pack up their bags and go home and then apply to come in here legally or stay home and make their own country better, which, of course, is the whole point. There's no reason that any country in the world can't be as free and prosperous as the United States. There's nothing unique that said that the United States is the only country that can be free and prosperous. You know, we are free and we are prosperous because we are free. And to the extent that we become communists, we're going to be less prosperous and more enslaved. And that's what we're trying to fight here. And so, but there's no reason we can't work on the other end. This is why I propose that Trump go to El Salvador, you know, as a perfect example, work with the El Salvador president, bring in, you know, money, bring in jobs, you know, bring in, do all the things that he did here, cut taxes, cut regulations, get rid of corruption and make El Salvador so prosperous. They have illegal aliens. You know, that's how you do it. It's interesting to see. Okay. Hey, Jean, I want to get Jean back in the conversation. I know she had there's some background stuff going on there, but Jean, feel free to come back in and join us. I don't know how much, if you study our bill or not, and I'm wondering maybe if I should get you connected with David, just in case you have to do things if I can't be reached. But, well, we might be expanding your producer duties, citizen legislator producer. Jean, what do you think?
The bill sounds really good. Yeah, I like it because I'm all for people that come here legally, mm-hmm. but the people that are not here legally, no, we should not be, using our taxpayer money and stuff like that for such a huge amount of things that we're doing for them. And I just don't think it's right.
Yeah. I think of this mostly as a principal issue. I don't want people here that can't be here. David, I don't know if there's a way to even study this, but or maybe the county's done something like this. Have they looked at the economic impacts of illegal aliens on our county? It's probably not that high just because we're Florida, we're free, we're conservatives, we're up in the panhandle. And I know there are places where it's, like Broward County. I think that's where Miami is, or the Dade County. But the southern counties where basically New Jersey and New York have moved into them, become liberal counties. Their illegal alien problem is huge compared to ours. But that doesn't mean we can't serve as a model. But has the county commission studied that at all, or is that, or are they more in the principal?
No,
side of this?
There hasn't been any kind of study like that.
Okay.
I would imagine that it would be incredibly difficult to do one.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be part of what I would lobby for on something like this, because I agree. I don't think that our illegal alien problem is very severe at this point.
Uh-huh.
But it will be if we don't do something about it now. So with the schools, you can't determine whether or not a child is here illegally or not based on that Supreme Court ruling. So there's a lot of things that the federal government has done to cripple your ability to even find out how bad the problem is.
Well, actually, you don't have to worry about the kids. You worry about the parents. And we can determine if they're here legally or illegally, because that goes to driver's licenses, that goes to voting, that goes to anything else, that goes to any benefits, county benefits, the welfare benefits, things like that. All of that, they check citizenship, don't they? And if not, we need to put that in the bill.
Yeah, well, we did have it in the bill that they would have to check citizenship status when they got their driver's license or any other interaction. So that's going to put our ability to track things like this in a lot better position.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can make the assumption. Well, first of all, I want to take on the Supreme Court issue in a second. But if you have, two illegal alien parents and they have kids, it's pretty reasonable to assume those kids are illegal aliens too. And even if they were born on U.S. soil, that's what's going to get messy, is if the kids are born on U.S. soil, because there's this ridiculous mistaken belief that birthright citizenship, that people born in the U.S. are automatically citizens, even if they come from illegal alien parents. And that's not true, although most people believe it. I bet you my candidate for Congress yesterday probably believes that. Most people in the country, because that's what they've been told. But it's a policy. It's not even a law, and it certainly isn't in the Constitution. And those that say it is on the 14th Amendment are lying because of the subject to the jurisdiction clause. Illegal aliens are not subject to U.S. citizenship. Whoa.
Background noise. My phone just went off.
Yeah, like I say, Gene, feel free to mute yourself if you have any noise. Yeah, turn your phone off. I think Gene's on the phone today. I don't know if she's on buttons or not. Sounds like a phone. Well, we'll see. Anyway, but this happens. We have a dog barking last time with Dr. Pry. We have all these interesting soundtrack things going on. But that's and I don't want to take that on this bill because we can't, because that will stop it. If we start challenging that thing, I don't want to challenge that at the federal level. That's going to be a much bigger battle. But this idea of birthright citizenship, Kamala Harris falls under that because her parents were not, American citizens when she was born, in this country. And so to me, she's an illegal alien, right? But I can't, change that policy because too many people believe it and too many hospitals are certifying these people, these babies that are being born in hospitals to illegal aliens. They're certifying them as Americans and they're giving them social security numbers. I have a bill to stop that in the hospitals. That's something we might want to look into here as well. Make that as a model. But until that comes, if we can do it in the schools, we can do it and just block our county in terms of illegal alien parents being here. It doesn't matter whether their kids are citizens or not, because we're going to take their house for being here. So I think that's how we get around it. Because I think the original premise of leaving the kids alone And just going after the parents who are here illegally puts us in a much better and easier legal ground to do what we're trying to accomplish, which is remove illegal aliens from our county. Does that make sense? How am I doing so far?
Oh, absolutely. And that gets us us several miles away from Powell versus Miller as well. That gets us away from the school board issue.
Well, and here's the thing, too, that I find fascinating, and I'd be curious if you've been able to talk to folks about this, you know, about the idea that the Supreme Court is requiring us to do something that they can't require us to do. The Supreme Court, and again, this is going to be a big federal issue, I think, is that the Supreme Court can settle cases, you know, but they can't recommend remedies, solutions, regulations, or laws. And in a Plyler v. Doe case, they could have ruled that what Texas did was unconstitutional in denying funding. Okay? That's an incorrect ruling, but that's within their jurisdiction. That's within their authority to rule on the constitutionality of that law, because that's what the Constitution says, that they can take cases under the I think of like six different categories of cases. That would be one. All right, state law. But what they can't do is say that everybody else has to fund it, that the kids are guaranteed an education. They can't do that. That authority does not exist. That part of the decision actually is moot, even though everybody's following it. And so the real thing we have to do is to convince people that it is moot, that the Supreme Court had no authority to require us to fund illegal alien children in our schools. The only thing they had the authority to do, and they did it wrong, was to strike down that Texas law, which did deny funding to illegal aliens. They can do that, and that's wrong, of course, you know, and Congress could fix that, and the state could fix that too, but by simply denying, you know, all illegal aliens an education in Texas, you know, but they didn't do that. But that's the problem. And are you running up against people that I don't know how many people understand that. I mean, I understand it because I'm talking about it all the time. But do people understand the limits of the Supreme Court, or is that like an education project we should get into?
That's definitely an education project. When I talk to normal people about really anything federal, and the Supreme Court seems to be the most foreign concept of our three-branch system. People have very, very little understanding of how our government is set up and the way it's supposed to work.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it sounds really encouraging what you said so far. And so, you know, I'm happy to meet with any of those groups. I'm happy to talk to anybody that you're talking to, but you're doing such a fabulous job. And this is how Action Radio works. I mean, the radio show here as the ideas, as you know, Congressman Matt Gaetz calls us, you know, we generate the ideas, you know, the bills come out of here and then they go to you, and you are like the army. you're the one that's carrying the battle. You know, or even not even in battle, but you're carrying the crusade to all these different groups and all these different people, and directly to, you know, the county commission. And so it is vital. And what you're doing is absolutely vital to the success of citizen legislation going forward. Because it's one thing to write it; it's another thing to get it implemented. And that's what you're doing. And this is, you know, I thank you, you know, as much as I can for what you're doing, because it's incredible. All right, I don't want to keep you too long today. I've got a ton of news, but other news, Santa Rosa Volunteers, if you want to talk about the event Friday, you know, anything that you want to report on, feel free.
Yeah. For those that came out, it was a great event. We did plan it on a Milton football home game. So the crowd, I counted 200, 220, somewhere around there. So we had a decent crowd. It was a good event. Had great speakers. Demolition derby afterwards. It was a good time. One of the cars caught on fire. Everybody enjoyed that.
you got to have entertainment. I
spent most of the time running around like a little worker ant, having multiple conversations and rallying troops and doing what I do. So that was great to see all the Patriots in one place. It sprinkled on us. We got a little rain. It was late, and everybody that was there in opposition of all the obstacles that could have kept them away. So I certainly appreciate that. Every time we do something like this, our crowd grows, we get bigger. So I love seeing that. People are slowly opening their eyes to things that have been a problem for a long time. The more Joe Biden botches this presidency, the more support I get. So it's a double-edged sword. As that goes.
Well, it's, you know, the worst of times bring out the best in people. It's like when I remember I was talking about the San Francisco earthquake to some people the last couple of days, and it was horrible. I mean, there was a lot of people died when the superstructure of the freeway, you know, collapsed and killed about 60 people, critically injured hundreds of people. You know, but all of us came out. We met our neighbors. We helped each other. We made sure everybody was okay. And, you know, we all gave blood the next day, and we all did what we're supposed to do. Same thing here. You've got basically a coup. Our nation's been taken over by criminals, and everything, you know, they're doing is criminal from that, because they don't care. Once they took the White House in the criminal act, you know, the other criminal acts didn't matter. It's like after the first murder, you know, the next 20 get easier. You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's easier for them to commit crimes. But what's happening is, you know, the school boards are going crazy. You know, people are removing their school board members. They're running for school board. They're yelling at the school board saying, you can't do this. You can't do masks. You know, jobs, you know, where they're trying to mandate vaccines or as I call them, spike protein infusion shots. And the evidence is coming out more and more that everybody that gets those is going to have massive blood clots. And just, you know, whether it's 3 months from now or 3 years from now, most people, you know, and it's sad to say, because I got friends. They're taking this vaccine, you know, and you know, to have Joe Biden up there, you know, saying that all jobs have to mandate this and all schools have to mandate this, you know, why don't you just put a gun to their head, you know, it'd be quicker. But that's, you know, figuratively, what he's doing. And it is, but the more this happens, the more people are resisting. Yeah. Go ahead. Tell me what you think.
I just compiled just over 1200 pages of documents about this, is spike protein injection. Uh-huh. I need to send that to look through it. It's statistics from other isolated countries that didn't have a COVID problem. Like one of them, it was a small island. They had 3 total COVID cases since the inception of COVID.
Seychelles. Seychelles?
That's the place,
right? Yeah.
What's that?
I think it's the Seychelles is the one which had the most vaccinations or something. Or unless it would be a different one.
It was a Spanish word that I have difficulty pronouncing, but they mandated the vaccine, and now they have an epidemic in their country, and people are dying of this variant. It's like you had 3 cases before you started shooting people up with this injection.
Do you have the name there? Well, can you spell it?
I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just curious.
You can look all that up. It's got all of negative reactions, news articles, statistics from the FDA, the CDC, all of the data that they try to hide. If you look on their website and you got to make 1,500 clicks to get to, it's all there.
Well, it's interesting. Are they legally required to publish stuff and then they hide the things that they don't want you to know or bury it as much as possible? I mean, why would they publish it anyway? I mean, it strikes me that the CDC is such a political organization, a self-serving, you know, basically part of the vaccine industry. It's this adjunct part of it that I'm surprised they publish things like that at all, unless they're duty-bound to.
I don't know what their regulations are, but I'm assuming if it, you know, that we found it, I'm assuming it's legally required that they put it somewhere.
Okay. Huh. That's interesting. All right. Yeah, I know that Israel, which is I guess, one of the most vaccinated places. I think the Seychelles is the other place in the world. It's like some African island or Indian island somewhere. But Israel is having huge problems now. They have like 85% of their other people, quote, fully vaccinated, whatever that means. I guess that means the booster too. And you know, the variants, you know, the variants are dependent on vaccinated people. You know, the vaccines cause the variations because people with natural immunity, you know, your natural system, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of, adapts to the variations. That's why they don't work on people, you know, that have natural immunity or nowhere near as much, unless you're vulnerable. But the vaccinated folks have such a narrow range of protection, if any, and that doesn't even count the spike protein injury. But the messenger RNA, you know, is so narrow, especially when it's when it's engineered for the original SARS-CoV-2 that doesn't exist. So you're vaccinating people against something that doesn't exist, and you're causing something that does exist to hurt them and everybody else because they're spreading it. You know, it's what's that Hippocratic rule? Don't first do no harm. Well, this is counter to everything. You know, it's like they changed the Hippocratic oath to first, you know, make as much money as you can. Wow, scary stuff.
Yeah, and I firmly believe that the vaccinated people are the ones generating the new variant.
Yeah.
There's a lot of evidence to support that. The way their bodies are reacting to that messenger RNA and the spike proteins that their bodies are generating and then shedding off, that is where these variants are coming from. And then now they're talking about booster shots. So every single time there's a booster, there's going to be another outbreak.
Oh, there's a doctor in one of those videos that I can't post that was talking about how dangerous all these shots are. And the more you get, the more your immunity lowers. And he's saying, these are going to kill people within 5 years, and if you get a second shot, you're talking a shorter time. If you get a third shot, you're really in trouble. And so the more of this spike protein, generating chemical they're getting, the worse off they're going to be. And, we haven't even begun to see the effects, the real effects of this, because they're hiding it. People that are coming to hospitals vaccinated are not being recorded. They're only talking about the people that aren't vaccinated because they want to make that look worse. It's like the opposite of what they had before. Before they tried to boost the COVID numbers as much as possible, and now they're trying to hide them. And it's all to sell the products. It is the greatest crime against humanity, since World War II and the Holocaust. I mean, there's no difference, except it's actually worse in a way because they're doing it just for money. And it is so horrible, the complete lack of conscience, lack of humanity, lack of anything, lack of any kind of emotion or compassion or anything, that they can actually do this. And I don't know if the people mandating the vaccines are just stupid, or they think they're doing the right thing, or they haven't even looked at this, or they don't know which information to believe. We had Shelby on yesterday, and she's very sincere. She's very intelligent, and she's, thinking that, the majority of people want this. We should go ahead with it. And like, we're not a medical democracy. This is why you don't want a democracy. You don't vote, what everybody has to do. You let individuals decide for themselves. That's how a republic works. So in a way, this is really the definition of a Marxist society where you're told what to do, a democracy where the majority votes what to do and compels the minority to follow along, or a republic where everything's decided by the individual. This really is a metaphor for our whole political system. What do you think?
It is, and it's very weird. So now they're turning – with all the mandates, these hospital staffs, the hospital I did a research study on last week, they had 700 employees. They had 200 employees that voluntarily were vaccinated before any sort of mention of mandate. They truly made a decision and went and got vaccinated on their own. So 200 employees out of 700. Then they started pushing the vaccines and encouraging them, insinuating that they were going to become mandatory at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Then it boosted the number of people that were vaccinated. Well, now you've got even directors of different departments that were against the vaccine that were going to wait and see what they're medical staff, so they believe in vaccinations, but they wanted the research studies to be done. They wanted it to be approved the correct way, not this emergency approval that they've done. And now that they were forced to get it, now they're the ones now pushing their staff. And I've talked to these people, and it's some sort of psychological manipulation, because people that I talked to 2 weeks prior that were against being vaccinated themselves are now not only vaccinating themselves, but fully on board with forcing people underneath them to be vaccinated. It's crazy.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's the mental change? I think you're really onto something here. But what is it that somebody would be resistant at first because they're just skeptical, they're just questioning, they just want to do their due diligence, they want to do their research. But once they get it, they want to force everybody else to get it too. What's going on? What do you think is happening?
The only thing that I can think of that makes any logical sense is that they have to justify it to themselves. Because if your ego is not going to allow you to, hey, I'm too weak to fight this, and I took this injection against my will because I don't have the moral strength to fight it. So you have to mentally accept this on some level. So now, I did my research. This is a good thing. This is helping people. That's the change that I'm seeing.
Interesting. I'm going to bring Jean in the conversation here because Jean's used to do our life coach report. This is her specialty. Jean, psychologically, what's going on here? What causes people to insist that someone else do something that they initially didn't want to do but felt coerced or forced to do, and now they're compelling everybody else? What, can you add to this here? I think this is very critical.
Well, sometimes it can be just fear, based on fear.
Okay.
That of what's going on, but also sometimes it's what they're told from other people too. So now they got it. Why did they get it? Because maybe someone made them get it. So now that they were made to get it, they're going to make everybody else get it. But I think a lot of times it's fear.
And fear of what? What are they afraid of?
Just the fear. Fear of the coronavirus, just those type of fears. Fear of maybe dying. Fear of getting it. Fear of getting sick. Yeah, lots of things. But what I'd like to know, too, is in our country, I would like to know if we could get, we're never going to get a true number of the people that got the vaccine versus who didn't. Mm-hmm. But I think in our country, we are a country of, let's take the shot, let's take the pill, you know, and then, okay, we can get on with our life. And the coronavirus, that's not how it works. And the reason I say that, they say, we're never going to get rid of the coronavirus. It's never going to go away. And so a quick fix that a lot of us may have hoped for is never going to be a quick fix because the way it sounds, it's going to continue to be here.
But I don't see that as a problem that it's going to continue to be here because it's so easily cured. It's so easily treated. But then I have that knowledge and I'm confident in it because I know the people that, you know, the greatest solution.
What are the people going to do that got the vaccine?
Yeah.
That, okay, what are they going to do next to not, in quotation marks, get it? Because now they're getting it. And part of it is some people just listen to mainstream media. And like Shelby said, some people just don't have time to do their own due diligence. So they listen to what other people are telling them. But I want to encourage people that we have to quit allowing other people to do what we should be doing and checking things out. And not that you have to spend hours at it, but don't listen to other people to form your opinion. You can, but what I mean is look at the reports, look at the studies, and just don't take someone's word for it because what I get from the news or from what I read and stuff like that is totally different than what somebody else gets. And what I may be looking at is different than what somebody else is. And so we can get two totally different groups of information.
Yeah.
And so you have to do your own due diligence. And if your life isn't important, then I don't know what else to say. But as far as a life coach goes and why people sometimes start forcing it upon others, it's
mm-hmm.
just,
yep.
I think exactly what was said earlier, that they were made to do it. And so now that they were made to do it, then, okay, let's get everybody else to do it. Or, I mean, some people may really believe that the shot really helped them out. I don't know. The sad thing is with getting the shot, the vaccine, we don't know the long-standing effects of it. And I think that's, for some of us, what's difficult to comprehend, that you would put something in your body that, number one, why do you need it there when there's other ways of treating it that if we just be given those options, who knows how that would affect us. And also, like they say in the United States here, we don't give people the early treatments. What do? You have COVID. What are you told to do? Go home and monitor the symptoms. So people don't go to the hospital until they are at a certain point. And then what? They're not given, still not given certain medications. Well, I forget. I was listening to something last night. I wish I could remember the city it was in. But this lady had to go to court and force the hospital, make a lawsuit for this hospital, so they would give her husband medications for his COVID and not just ventilation. And isn't that sad that now we're taking it to the court system to give someone hydroxychloroquine and the other stuff? And is it going to work? I mean, now it may be too late, but if a person's on a ventilator and it's not doing any good, I mean, it's keeping them alive, but I mean, their symptoms and their nothing is changing other than he's still or she's still kept alive because they're on the ventilator, that's not really living either. And when you consider they're in the hospital by themselves because nobody can go visit them, I mean, how sad is that?
Yeah. Let me get back to David here, because this is huge to me. And David, you can tell me thanks, Jane. Excellent comment. From the people that you're talking to, this strikes me as a cult. It's like a medical cult where people, they're acting as individuals before they get the vaccine, but afterwards, I'm not saying the vaccine is causing this. I think this is a mental thing independent of the vaccine itself. But once they get it, it's like they join the them, you know, or they join us, and it's like us against them. And they get kind of a cult mentality where if you don't have the vaccine, you're not part of us. Or they figure if they're going to die, they want everybody else to die too. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on here, but it strikes me much more cultish, much more groupthink once people have the vaccine. And this is why we need to make it much more of an option. I mean, I'm thinking actually of possibly having, you know, Santa, now that I was, as you were talking, as Jean was talking, I sort of wrote down vaccine option zone. It's like our next thing to do is that the vaccine will always be an option in Santa Rosa County. Do you see the cult mentality of the people you're talking to once they get it, David?
Oh, absolutely. And when you look into society everywhere, your work on TV at these county institutions, the commissioner's office, the school board, you have all distinctions between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. They keep pushing that groupthink in the cliques. So they keep trying to separate us as a society, like they've always done. It's black and white, rich and poor, vaxxed, unvaxxed. It's always the same game. This is just a new creation of that, and it seems to be working quite well, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is fascinating. Thank you both for your input here. I'm thinking that we should, once we get the illegal alien bill rolling, talk about, like a vaccine option zone. And I see us, you know, we have this incredible opportunity to be a model for the country here. And we've got the people, we've got the votes, we've got the, if I tried to do this in the San Francisco Bay Area, I might as well just beat my head against the wall right now. It's not going to happen. No one's going to listen to me. Nobody cares. But here, I think I found a place just by sheer, luck or divine providence of being put here to have this show, with WEBY when I started back in 2017, to now have the group of people that I have and the folks that have come to the show like Gene and David to have you right here in this county and the other people that are supportive of, advancing against our own government in ways that make us more free. This is pretty special. This is something that I find very rewarding and inspires me, to go on even further. I wanted to see if there's anything else we have. And like I said, I don't want to keep you too long. Our 15-minute chats go for like an hour now, which is really kind of cool. Anything else you want to add? Anything else you're working on? Because I think you're doing incredible work with this bill so far. And I'm curious to hear what happens, as the days go by. David?
That pretty much wraps up what we've got. We've always got a lot of irons in the fire. We're still working on finding candidates to run for election. Those 2022 is getting here really fast, so we're still working that angle. Got committees working on that, working on our bills and all the COVID, the vaccine mandates with the local businesses. So we're definitely very busy, we just try to keep our head down and make sure that everything that we do is actually productive. It makes a positive change, and we're not just spinning our wheels or being that keyboard warrior. Anybody who wants to get involved or even somebody in a different room, feel free to reach out to us. I'll help you get your own group set up, organize your own thing. And if you're not in Santa Rosa County, if you are, come over, see us, and we'll put you to work for sure.
Yeah, and also people around the country too. I mean, we're going to get people nationally who are going to want to do this in their state, in their county, in their state. This is going to be big. This is going to be a very big deal, especially when the publicity hits that we're actually creating, and especially once it's created, or even beforehand, even if this debate's going on. When the news services pick up on this, it's going to get very interesting around here. I think I'll call these folks myself. Unless you think they're oversaturated, but James Calkins, Bob Cole, and Sam Parker, do you think it would help if I talk to them, or are you pretty much dealing with them? Okay, all right, just make sure.
The more people that call them on this is the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, I'll see if they can. They have any questions for me. Just the last thing, then, just real quick before you go, vaccine mandates in town. Is there anything happening to? Are the businesses sort of binding together, saying they're not going to do this? Is there any action, you know, in that regard?
They keep folding one at a time. Right now, it's the medical institutions. We've got elderly nursing home rehab facility that's fully mandated now. One of the local hospitals is, they're not mandating a vaccine, but the language they put out, they're going to, and currently anybody who's unvaccinated has to be tested biweekly, which, again, it reinforces that divide, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. And if you're unvaccinated, we're going to punish you by making your life miserable. So it's just a matter of time before that's a mandate at that hospital. I haven't gotten to making the business signs. I think that is a critical step forward, going to these businesses individually and letting them know that they're not alone, because that's seems to be what the propaganda is if you're unvaccinated or don't want the vaccine, then you're somehow the minority, and that's not the case. So letting these businesses know they can put this sign up, their community supports them, and talking to these individual business owners before they feel like they're pushed into a mandate. So that's got to be the next step that we take.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy to go around with you to these different businesses. I mean, I'd love to do it. And I'm thinking, you know, if they just a really simple sign, maybe, you know, mask and vax optional, you know, or so just something that simple, mask and vax optional, you know, and have, you know, Santa Rosa Volunteers Action Radio, Flash Action Radio or something like that. That's all you need. I mean, that might be enough right there. Go ahead. What do you think?
Mandate free zone. So
mandate free zone.
Zone and have a picture of the mask, a picture of the vaccine with the red circle and the line through it. Mandate free zone.
I love it. As soon as you're ready to post that so we can see it and everybody else can see it, that'd be great. And we can send it to various business organizations and away we go. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Good to have you on. You're doing the work of freedom. You're doing a great job with it. So I appreciate it.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, David. There we go. So there we go. All right. So that's David Jones, co-founder of Santa Rosa Volunteers. Again, you can reach them at srv1776.com. And I get my numbers wrong. So I'm just going to say it that way, srv1776.com. Got a couple things to play for you. I've got my COVID PSA, anti-vax message, and then I want to get to our Santa Rosa Volunteers presentation for this week. Which is on Anti-Federalist Paper Number 4 by Patrick Henry, and you can see how it relates to events going on. And Gene, after that, it's you and me and anybody else that wants to join us. Gene, are you on the buttons today or are you on the phone? I forgot.
I'm on buttons.
Okay, good. All right, so we can screen. If you want to try the live chat, you know, this is a function that the reason I'm announcing it to Gene rather than just doing it off air is because I want people to know that we have this live chat function. And so if you're not crazy about calling the show, but you still want to get a message to us, we're going to get that going at some point here fairly soon as well. All right. I'll be right back in a few minutes. In the meantime, enjoy this and we'll be back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. I am proud to announce a new feature of Action Radio. Santa Rosa Volunteers has commissioned me to bring to you an education in our founding documents, one focused subject at a time. Each week, we will have a new presentation drawing from the Declaration of Independence, the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, and who knows, maybe back to Magna Carta. So enjoy learning about your God-given birthright in these vignettes. Share them with your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your friends, in fact, anyone you want to serve, an accessible yet poignant introduction to a lifelong journey in the study and practice of liberty. The whole purpose of these presentations is to inform a generation or two of Americans about the true meaning of our founding. They should have gotten that in school. Since that is not happening, Santa Rosa Volunteers has decided to help change that. If you want to learn more about Santa Rosa Volunteers and maybe get involved, their website is srv1776.com, srv1776.com. Their email is srv1776@protonmail.com. It is their goal to share local community information while encouraging everyone to feel welcomed and informed. Santa Rosa Volunteers says, "Arise, patriots! It is time to take our republic back. The sleeping giant awakens. Arise, patriots, and get involved." Until next time, this is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Patrick Henry published Anti-Federalist Paper No. 4, June 5, 1788. He is famous for the quote, "Give me liberty or give me death." Fortunately, he got liberty. Patrick Henry apparently didn't think too much of the new Constitution, and even less, I believe, of John Jay, author of Federalist Paper No. 4. Henry sets the tone of his, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it," idea of the Constitution in his opening paragraph, saying, "If we recollect, on last Saturday, I made some observations on some of those dangers which these gentlemen would fain persuade us hang over the citizens of this commonwealth to induce us to change the government and adopt the new plan. Unless there be great and awful dangers, the change is dangerous, and the experiment ought not to be made." Henry pokes fun at John Jay by challenging his basic assumptions that foreign powers will go to war with us if we provoke or upset them, when he says, "It is not sufficient to feign mere imaginary dangers. There must be a dreadful reality. The great question between us is, does that reality exist?" That is the real question. If you have to make stuff up to make your case, and the stuff you make up is rather implausible anyway, you don't have much of a case. One could say that making Iraq safe from weapons of mass destruction, or spending 20 years in Afghanistan was necessary to keep them from attacking us, are similar to the arguments John Jay was making in Federalist Paper No. 4. To further bolster his case, Henry states that it is a fact that the people do not wish to change their government. And the last nail in the coffin of wild speculation to justify the new government of the Constitution over fixing the Articles of Confederation, Henry says, "No government can flourish unless it be founded on the affection of the people. Unless gentlemen can be sure that this new system is founded on that ground, they ought to stop their career. As for the Federalists, however, I believe government over as much as possible was their career. I believe the Anti-Federalists saw this as a massive power grab and wanted to tell the people that the Constitution was neither inevitable nor even desirable, but rather represented a fundamental change in the U.S. government into something very different from the Articles of Confederation, without even considering revising the Articles so that they worked better while keeping the same safeguards and basic operation, but rather instead created an entirely new form of government." Patrick Henry says of the Articles of Confederation, "There is no danger of a dismemberment of our country unless a constitution be adopted which will enable the government to plant enemies on our backs. By the Confederation, the rights of territory are secured. No treaty can be made without the consent of 9 states. While the consent of 9 states is necessary to the cession of territory, you are safe." The last paragraph of Anti-Federalist Number 4 is so brilliant. There is nothing more I could possibly add or say. It was a warning in its time for its time. It is also an explanation for much of what is happening in our time. This may be a radical idea, but what if the next Convention of States considered instead a revised Articles of Confederation to replace the Constitution? It's something worth talking about, if for nothing than to find out what the Anti-Federalists held so dear in the Articles and what caused them to be so repelled by the Constitution as proposed. Here is the final paragraph of Anti-Federalist Number 4 by Patrick Henry. "The Confederation, this despised government, merits, in my opinion, the highest encomium. It carried us through a long and dangerous war. It rendered us victorious in that bloody conflict with a powerful nation. It has secured us a territory greater than any European monarch possesses. And shall a government which has been thus strong and vigorous be accused of imbecility and abandoned for want of energy? Consider what you are about to do before you part with the government. Take longer time in reckoning things. Revolutions like this have happened in almost every country in Europe. Similar examples are to be found in ancient Greece and ancient Rome, instances of the people losing their liberty by their own carelessness and the ambition of a few. We are cautioned against faction and turbulence. I acknowledge that licentiousness is dangerous and that it ought to be provided against. I acknowledge also the new form of government may effectually prevent it. Yet there is another thing it will effectually do as well. It will oppress and ruin the people." The source for the Federalist Papers is federalistpapers.org. The Anti-Federalist Papers are from selfeducatedamerican.com. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is SRV176. I always get this wrong. Their website is SRV1776.com. That's SRV1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it. Dangerously cool. Okay, we're back. It's been fascinating. I wanted to play a little bit extra on Santa Rosa Volunteers, including the intro, simply because yesterday we kind of goofed and I didn't, with everything that was happening, I forgot to play their piece. I want to do a little bit more. And of course, we had David Jones from Santa Rosa Volunteers on today as well. And so this is what it's all about. It's amazing to me to see this actually, you know, from basically a crazy idea on a bike ride back in 2014, when I said that, you know, I'm thinking to myself and doing this internal dialogue saying, you know, talk radio, all they do is talk. You know, nothing ever happens. They don't change anything. You know, certain protests and things like that, but it's just mostly talk. And what they really need to do is take action. I said, what we need is action radio. And from that initial inspiration, all this has happened. We have a citizen legislature. We have David Jones, who's actually working with the county commissioners to get a bill that they're now in favor of, you know, at least half of them, to create an illegal alien free zone here in Santa Rosa County, Florida, which is a model for the nation. This bill is a model bill that any county can adopt, because all the law enforcement, I thought this through, you know, fairly carefully as to how exactly to structure this, but we've structured it in such a way that there's no federal involvement. There isn't even state involvement. Okay. This is purely local law enforcement, you know, enforcing local civil asset forfeiture of people that have no right to be here. in directly from the 14th Amendment. I'll explain this to the county commissioners as well, that the 14th Amendment, you know, says that citizens of the United States are also citizens of the state in which they reside. Okay, which the opposite then is also true, that people who are not citizens of the United States are not citizens of the state in which they reside. Therefore, we don't have to, you know, allow them to stay here. Okay, so it's very simple. So the non-citizens, they're not residents, they have no status here at all, they're illegal aliens, they need to go. It's really up to the federal government to do the deportation, you know, ICE to round them up and things like that. We're not doing that. All we're doing is civil asset forfeiture. So in other words, if a legal alien family buys a house, we're going to take the house, and we're going to take the car. You know, if a company employs illegal aliens, we're going to take the company. You know, it's very simple, and it's very easily avoided. Don't employ illegal aliens. Don't sell houses to illegal aliens. You know, there are ways to avoid this so easily, and it's for the benefit of all Americans. You know, we don't want illegal alien kids in the school because they're going to take the place of American kids and legal immigrants. We don't want illegal aliens taking jobs and lowering wages and making things worse for everybody else. You know, there's nothing good comes from illegal aliens. It's like smoking. Nothing good comes from smoking. It just doesn't. Okay. Sorry, tobacco companies. You know, nothing good comes from you. Nothing good comes from illegal aliens at all. Oh, but they're wonderful people. They just want a better life. Well, everybody wants a better life. Bank robbers, mafia, hitmen, they all want a better life. Okay, that's not a criteria, all right? Immigration is not based on somebody else wanting a better life. Immigration is based on making a better life for Americans. That's what immigration is, all right? And we need to talk about legal immigration, too. We need to cut that back as well because we have too many legal folks coming in as well. But that's a whole different argument. Gene, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, definitely
on a rant this morning, but so that's our bill, and David's doing some amazing work, and when you get down to it, it's actually not that tough. You know, it's just talking to people, structuring a good bill. But what do you think so far? Any inspiration? Anything to add? You know, anything you think we should be doing?
No, I think it's good. I think the premise behind it is very good. I'm all for people being here legally.
Yeah,
that's not an issue. It's those that aren't that. It's like, just do the right thing. Do the legal thing. Yeah. And I just want to tell people, since it's just going to be you and I talking now for a while, just to call and give their input on the vaccine. Are they for it? Are they against it? Were they one, like you were talking about before, one that didn't want to get it and now they got it and now they believe other people should get it? And what's your viewpoint? Why? I'd be curious to hear. But it's an individual decision.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, and let me give the phone number again, 215-383-3832. The reason I don't give the phone number a lot is because if you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, the phone number's right there. It's right there, you know, either above or below the picture of the thinker. So it's not hard to find. It's posted. And you can't listen to us unless you're online. So that's part of it. But, you know, I was thinking as you and David were talking about mandates and the draft came to mind. I was thinking in World War II, there was a draft, but it wasn't needed because the cause was just. Our nation was at war. We were invaded at Pearl Harbor, and we could very easily have been invaded by Germany, you know, from U-boats in the Navy on the East Coast. They didn't have it. They had a draft, but they didn't need it because so many people volunteered to serve that wasn't needed. Now contrast that with Vietnam, where the draft was what caused all the protests. It was interesting that after the protests in Vietnam didn't end with the end of the war, the protests in Vietnam ended with the end of the draft. Okay, it was the mandate that was causing the problems. If people wanted to volunteer to fight in Vietnam, that was fine. I mean, most people didn't, you know, weren't, you know, the people that wanted to went, the people that didn't, and that became a personal choice. But the mandate was what caused, you know, people mandating that we go fight in Vietnam for things that people did not believe in, where they were not going to come here with a Navy or an Air Force and attack our country, where terrorism wasn't as big a deal then. You know, the idea of fighting in this country for a political objective or to keep Lyndon Johnson happy? No. You know, so I see the vaccine in many ways the same way. If you have to mandate something, that should tell you that it's not worth mandating, that there's a problem, that people are questioning it. And why are you mandating something anyway in a free country? Obviously, it's not a free country if you're mandating it. Do you see the parallels I see, Gene?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And that if you don't get the vaccine, I mean, there are people, like I didn't get it, but I'm not going to go in someone's face and tell them you know how crazy they were to get it. But for those people that got it, there are some of them that are like that. They get in your face, and I don't know if you saw the report yesterday about the doctor from the Mayo Clinic and what she wrote on a post.
No, what did she say?
Basically, it was awful. Basically, people that are not vaccinated should pretty much not walk into the Mayo Clinic's emergency room because they don't want to waste ICU beds on someone that's so inconsiderate as not to get the vaccine. Now, it wasn't quite like that. I don't exactly remember the exact words, but it had that connotation to it. And my thinking is this. There are two sides to this. There are some doctors that are totally against the vaccine and those that totally are. And so it's interesting in this country, if you're a doctor that is against the vaccine or mm-hmm. they don't believe in it and they believe in other ways of treatment, those doctors are considered quacks. But then the other ones are considered the God Almighty truth. And my thinking is this, you don't know why someone doesn't get a vaccine. You don't know their medical history. And so this was brought up with another post about the 75 doctors in Florida that ran off or protested last week, walked out their mm-hmm. job for whatever amount of time. Anyway, they said if someone is fat, overweight, obese, do you not help, like if they're diabetic, do you not treat them because they don't eat the right foods or have high blood pressure because maybe they don't exercise or whatever the case may be. No, you don't deny someone medical treatment because of what they do or don't do. And what you were talking about before, the Hippocratic oath that they pledge to do no harm to people. You don't know why they didn't get the vaccine. Some people just don't want to get the vaccine. Some people don't want to get it because they don't want the government telling them what to do. But I know people that can't get the vaccine. Their doctors told them not to get the vaccine because of their other medical issues. And so when you go into that emergency room, no one knows why you did not get the vaccine if you didn't get the vaccine. But to be honest with you, that shouldn't even be asked. Have you had the vaccine? Because COVID patients are getting it as well as, oh, not COVID, vaccine patient people that have been vaccinated are getting it just as well as people that have not been vaccinated. And so it's like, what are they doing with that data anyway? Because they don't care if you got vaccinated, because in that data, they don't want people to know that you have COVID. It's just the non-vaccinated people.
Yeah. And the simple reason is, the simple choice is, or let me put it as simply as possible, it's nobody's business. If you don't want to get it, you don't get it. If you want to get it, you get it. But there should be no groupthink, no cult, no belonging to the superior people because you got the vaccine. Well, and we're going to see the health effects of this. This is not going to be good. All right. I want to race through a bunch of things. We've got about 47 minutes. Anybody wants to call again, 215-383-3832. This is one of those great times to get in. You can bring up any topic you want. I'm pretty open, but there's some things that I want to talk about. The good news is, I'm going to give you some good news here. This is from Human Events, August 31st, so that would be yesterday. It's called Think Positive. That's P-A-W-S-I-T-I-V-E. Efforts underway to rescue 50-plus U.S. military dogs stranded in Afghanistan. Again, what is more callous than leaving dogs behind? Gene, what kind of a robot, of a subhuman would leave the dogs behind in Afghanistan? What the hell's going on? What do you think? I'm disgusted.
Yeah. Well, my way of thinking is this. It's like how we treat humans is one thing, but a dog that relies on humans to take care of them, I think that's despicable. But also what really breaks my heart is the fact that each of those service dogs had a person that was with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, a dog is like family, but more so when you're in the military, those dogs are the ones that can, I mean, they can basically save your life by coming across, you know, different things that is out in the environment. And so to think that they left those dogs behind, how gut-wrenching. People that were left behind as well. I can't fathom that, to think that they left Americans behind and did, I can't say they did not care because I'm not going to get into their minds and I don't want to, but I could definitely, they really didn't care based on what Biden said about leaving people there and swearing about it and not caring. I'm like, really, really, that's our president? And then what he did when those 13 military, I think they only had 11 at that time, caskets were, coming down, and he had a look at his watch.
Five times.
Why did you need to know what time it was at that particular time? You aren't going anyplace. You know, shouldn't have anything else to be more pressing for you at that particular moment or for the next hour or two. It's like, I mean, it's almost like he does something or does things just to get a rise out of people. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I just think he couldn't be bothered being there, because if you're a true Marxist, you know, individual lives simply don't matter. You know, the cause matters. The ideology matters, you know, or in his case, you know, doing his master's bidding, you know, Obama matters, so that he can stay in the White House and pretend to be president. You know, that's what I think's going on. Let me give you some good news here. This is from the article I just quoted. It says, following the withdrawal of the final U.S. troops from Afghanistan, a nonprofit group is working to rescue dozens of military dogs abandoned at the Kabul airport. This is why I talked about Operation Dunkirk, you know, private jets and private airliners flying into to Afghanistan to get our folks out. This is the same kind of thing. So the government, when the government fails, you know, the people have to take over. In fact, the people should probably lead these things anyway. It says, veteran sheepdogs of America. I didn't know we had sheepdogs serving. Veteran sheepdogs of America has been tasked with the responsibility of retrieving 51 military dogs. Indeed, a photo began circulating over the weekend of several dog carriers in front of a helicopter. However, those crates represent just a small portion of the total number of furry friends left behind. And it says, update, Kabul airfield, working on getting dogs out. Whatever mess you think Kabul is, it's worse. You know, so they're working on it. So that's the good news. Veteran sheepdogs of America are trying to get the dogs out of Afghanistan. Wow.
Well, bless them. Maybe they need to try to get the Americans out. And I know,
wouldn't that be nice?
I just read something yesterday that I wish I could remember. And I don't. Someone famous went and helped get some people out of Afghanistan. But it's sad when we have to do it and not our government. When the government, I don't want to say got us into this mess, but they did. And if Biden was in such a rush to get out of the war or get out of Afghanistan, I'm sorry, he could have did it the 8 years. They could have did it the 8 years that Obama was in office. So, you know, that's not the real reason at all.
No, I mean, this could have been taken care of any number of different ways. I mean, they did it the worst possible way, but I still think that's the plan. You know, I think this is part of the Obama plan. And so, and the reason I think the dogs are left behind is a little more sinister than just they didn't have room, they overlooked them. I think the reason they're left behind is because Muslims don't like dogs, and they didn't want to offend all the Muslims they're bringing into the country, because, you know, Obama is a Muslim promoting Muslim. You know, let's be clear. His father was Muslim. He's Muslim by birth. You can't change that except by death. So what he does makes perfect sense. If you're a radical Muslim installed as president, you know, most likely from Kenya, according to the fraudulent birth certificate that Sheriff Joe Arpaio said was fraudulent on my show. I've got the recording of it, you know, from WEBY. Anybody wants to check that? We have a Facebook page, my WEBY show. It's right there. Look up Joe Arpaio. Listen to it. There it is. All right. So PJ Media had an interesting thing. And this was back March 14, 2017. So this is early Trump administration. It's the article headline is, why do so many Muslims hate dogs? I thought this was fascinating. And it says, a Muslim taxi driver in England, one Abandi Kasim, was recently fined for refusing to take on a blind passenger seeing eye dog because, as Kasim claimed, for me, it's about my religion. Okay. And it says also, there have been many such cases in the UK, the US, Canada, where Muslims are refusing to pick up fares of seeing eye dogs. Many of the Somali taxi drivers, here you go, another Muslim imported community up in Minnesota, Somali taxi drivers who make up 3/4 of the 900 taxi drivers at the Minneapolis airport, that's fascinating, you know, refuse to pick up blind passengers because of their dogs. When forced to do so, some of them simply quit. In Toronto, a guide dog owner was refused taxi service by a Muslim driver. In Saskatchewan, the same problem. Montreal, Ottawa, all across Canada, Muslim drivers have refused service to seeing eye dogs. In London, Nottingham, Reading, Tunbridge Wells, taxi drivers have refused service to fares with dogs. I find that disgusting. It says here, the Muslim hatred for dogs, even as many non-Muslims now know, has its origin in the celebrated Hadith from the most authoritative collection, that by Burkari. I'm not sure what all that means. He says, once Gabriel promised the prophet that he would visit him, but Gabriel did not come. And later on, he said, we, angels, do not enter a house which contains a picture or a dog. There you go. It says in the Quran. It's okay. You can hate dogs. I think Obama hates dogs. What do you think?
He had dogs, but that doesn't mean he liked dogs.
That was a front. Nah, that was a front.
A lot of times that's what they do. And then you got Biden's dogs that bite people. That's sad, too, because the reason I say that is because obviously the dogs are, I don't want to say afraid, but they are. They're very anxious or something to cause that, you know, them to mm-hmm. do that. So that breaks my heart, too. Then they put them in situations like that.
Yeah. Let me play a quick thing here. I'm going to switch topics. I have a lot of our regular things I haven't played for a few days, so I kind of feel like unplayed out here. But we're going to come back and get into vaccines and then the election and various other things I have here. Here it is. I'll be right back.
Action Radio. Part of the ADHD Radio Network. The ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
Well, it teaches me a little bit about radio production. You never know what's going to come out of this show. I just let people know from earlier on the show, if you're just joining us now, our bill to create an illegal alien-free zone in Santa Rosa County, Florida, is advancing. The county commission has it. People are interested. Republican groups are interested. And so this may be our first bill passage. You know, we've had bills, you know, talked about in Congress with various members. We've had bills at the state legislature where they didn't go anywhere. We have a ton of bills. But if this one happens, this will be the first. And once the first one hits, it's Katie by the door. The floodgates will be open and citizen legislation will be a reality in this country. And we get to write the laws we consent to be governed by and as much as possible try and get them through the various legislatures. I'm excited. I think it's wonderful. Gene's back. Gene, if you have a comment on that. If not, I want to get into Liberty Council. The FDA does a bait and switch with COVID shots to really explain exactly what's happening. This is probably one of the best articles I found. Are you excited, Gene? I'm excited. I think this is fascinating. We're doing what we talked about doing. It's becoming a reality.
Right. Yeah. So true. Okay. Yeah. Go with the article.
Well, thank you. All right. Liberty Council. I should do the about section. Anyway, there's too many things here. I'll get to it later. So they're a legal counsel. They do. In fact, I'm going to contact them about my proposed lawsuit against big tech. Hopefully they'll take it on. Still looking for someone to do that. So the article, August 27th, 2021, FDA does a bait and switch with COVID shots. And so there's a huge misunderstanding of what's going on. So I'm just going to get this out there so people have a real clear understanding of what is really happening with these messenger RNA spike protein infusions. Washington, D.C., the Food and Drug Administration has done a bait and switch by announcing it approved its first COVID-19 vaccine in order to push the vaccine mandates and protect the Pfizer pharmaceutical company from legal liability. However, there is currently no fully licensed COVID shot on the United States market. Let me say that again. There is currently no fully licensed COVID shot on the United States market. Here's where I'm going to channel Rush Limbaugh. Boy, I miss him now. He'd have a lot to say about what's going on in Afghanistan. But Rush would say, but Rush. So I'll say, but Greg, they said it was approved. They said those vaccines are approved now. No, they're not. And here is why. Article says, albeit confusing and probably intentionally so. No, you know what, folks. Yeah. This summarizes the current status of the Pfizer. I think I should start calling that. Gene, what do you think? Should I call it Pfizer biotech shots? I cracked myself up. All right. Number one, all existing Pfizer vials in the hundreds of millions, all right, that's hundreds of millions, remain under the federal emergency use authorization, meaning people have the option to accept or refuse. I still think they have the option to accept or refuse a fully approved one, too. I still don't think you give up your constitutional rights, but I'll talk to these folks about that and argue with them later. Anyway, the EUA, the emergency use authorization, is definitely an experimental drug. Number two, the third or booster Pfizer shot is identical to the above and remains under the EUA emergency use authorization with limited use to certain categories of people. BioNTech received FDA approval for people ages 16 and above under the name Comirnaty, what I'm calling comorbidity, Comirnaty, but there are no Comirnaty doses available in the United States. Let me try that one more time. There are no Comirnaty doses available in the United States. Four, in other words, there is currently no FDA-approved COVID-19 injection available anywhere in the United States. Every COVID shot in America remains under the emergency use authorization law, and thus people have the, quote, option to accept or refuse them. And, number five, even when an FDA-approved COVID shot becomes available, individuals are protected by federal law and many state laws from being forced to get these shots based on their sincere religious beliefs or conscience rights.
But then I got a question, though. What's going on with the hospitals now in Florida and also even here in Minnesota? Well, not even Minnesota. I know one of the big health care systems is mandating their medical staff get it, but at least the first one by October 1st and the second one by November 1st, or they're out of a job and they can never, ever, ever go back there to work, because once you're fired from that group of hospitals or medical systems, you never can get back there again, as someone told me the other day. But that said, how can they do that? And I know with nursing homes, they're still debating whether or not to cut off funding if the employees don't have the vaccine.
Well, I think it's all illegal. I think the vaccine itself is illegal. The way it was created was illegal. The way they hid the data and didn't test it properly is illegal. The way they force it on people, the way they declared, you know, an emergency when there wasn't one because we had cures, that was illegal. You know, everything about this is illegal. You know, the idea that you can force a vaccine on anybody, that's extortion. To have a job, force a vaccine or a messenger RNA protein, spike protein shot on people, that's unconstitutional. Right. You can't see somebody's body and force them into a shot in their arm to keep their job. That's extortion. People don't give up their constitutional rights when they walk into a job. And that's something that we really need to talk about. Yeah, go ahead.
But isn't that what Sacred Heart is doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. Yeah, it's illegal. Yeah. And I'm trying to find them a lawyer. I'm finding it very interesting that I can't find a lawyer, that lawyers aren't willing to take this on. The Sacred Heart employees are taking this on. I've seen the protest. I've been there. I videotaped them. You know, there's a lot of folks who are fighting against this. But the idea, and here's the thing that should raise the most red flags. These are medical people. Why are medical people not wanting to take a medical, you know, messenger RNA shot? Well, what do they know? I mean, that'd be the first question. So anybody who's decent about this would ask that. You also have to figure out how much money is in this, okay? How much money is management getting from the government for you know, mandating this? There's got to be kickback somewhere.
Oh,
the government
gosh,
makes, yeah. And that's what, you know, they made money. They made, what, $35,000 for listing somebody as dying from COVID, even when they didn't, okay? So if they're willing to pay $35,000 for a listing on a death certificate, how much are they willing to pay for a vaccine with our money? All right. So that Dr. Fascist can get rich, the health bureaucrats can get rich, Big Pharma can get rich. You know, they can then pay this. They're probably kicking back a fortune to Joe Biden's family. You know, those members of Congress, you know, Congress could outlaw this tomorrow. They could say vaccines can never be mandated. And they could do that, but they don't. You know, states could do that. In fact, many states have. Montana, I think, is the most prominent. Florida hasn't. I'm not sure why. You know, but the idea that these companies, and there's another thing too, they're becoming what we call state actors. In other words, they're acting as governments. You know, governments can mandate things. Companies, you know, can't do this. They can't force something into your arm. You know, I mean, governments can take away your rights with due process and throw you in jail if you've, you know, committed a crime. But people who are doing this, you know, who aren't getting a vaccine, that's not a crime to refuse a vaccine. You're not criminals to do that. And you know, so the companies that are trying to do this, they're trying to take over your body. They're trying to seize it under the Fourth Amendment search and seizure, you know, to be safe in your person, you know, home and effects. This is a direct seizure of your person. And so, and there is no due process for this that can mandate that you get a vaccine, you know, especially when the treatments and everything else. So none of this is legal, but they're doing it for some reason. I think it's money. I think it's, you know, the government says so, so we have to do it. It's that that sheep, you know, model of authority. You know, if the Supreme Court says something, it must be right and you have to follow it. Well, it's like you're giving up your ability to think for yourself. Anyway, a little bit more on this, and I want to move on to politics of the election. It says on August 23rd, the FDA issued two separate letters for two separate injections. And this is what people have to really keep clear. They approved one, but it doesn't exist. The one they didn't approve is still on the market. That's probably about the clearest way I can say that. Okay, so they did this on purpose so that you would think you would get the approved one when you're really getting the one that's only authorized under emergency use authorization. That's the difference. And if you have to check the vial. If the vial says BioNTech Pfizer vaccine, that's the old one. Okay, if it says Comirnaty, which it won't for at least 3 years, that's the new one. So again, they've approved something that doesn't exist to confuse you into thinking you're getting the new one when you're really getting the old one. With graphene oxide and spike proteins and everything else that's in it. All right, so the last bit here, the first letter is regarding FDA's biologics license application approval for the Pfizer Inc. BioNTech COVID-19 injection, which has been named Comirnaty. Yet Pfizer has not started manufacturing or labeling this drug for U.S. distribution, so it is not even available in the U.S. It is unclear whether or not it is protected by a liability shield, but web-based U.S. government communications indicate that this same program that provides compensation for COVID vaccine-related injuries, that's the VAERS program, okay? The Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, CICP, rather than the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, that's VAERS. At this point, there apparently has been no compensation paid to people injured by one of the COVID shots via the CICP. So they're not even getting compensation properly. This is a mess. I mean, the best thing is just stay away from the vaccine. Otherwise, you know, it's horrible. Gene?
Yeah, no so, good, so no, very yeah. true. So very true.
Okay, let me play something real quick. I'll be right back. And where's the... there we go. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. You know, I never thought of this before, but I was pretty much a radical back in my flight instruction days, telling people to be independent, think for yourself, you know, design your own flight training program, you know, find the best way to meet the standards you can and you know, be creative about it. So I guess I've always had this consistent rebel streak in me. Dean, what do you think?
I definitely think that would be true. Yep. Because... you definitely don't play it safe. What I mean by that is it's like you don't take the most known way out of anything. So
that's really interesting.
The known path or the, you know, the common path. You do your own path, which I think that's the best thing anybody can want is do, you know, do what makes you happy. Do it the way that makes you happy as long as it's legal. And that way, you know, we win society and also just you, because you're a happier person overall.
Yeah, sometimes I think my life would be so easy if I wasn't burdened with this rebel streak. If I could just go along like everybody else, I'd be happy. I could watch football. I could drink beer. You know, I could work a job I don't like. I can be in a bad marriage. I can be in debt. I could have a mortgage. I can have too many pets, too many kids, and be like everybody else and have car payments. Why couldn't I be happy doing that, Gene? Why can't I just be miserable like everybody else? I have to do this weird stuff.
You know, the thing is, life in general would be boring for you, but also for everybody else, because we don't, like I always tell people, you don't want two people like me. We each need to be our own thing, unique, creative, and that's where the greatness comes, because you'll do things nobody else, well, you have done things nobody else thought of, but it opens the doors for many other people that will come after you. And that's an amazing thing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's also good if something happens to me, which I hope not, but, you know, you never know. We got to prepare for things. Looks like we have a call. In the meantime, I'm going to go to this if I'm going to talk to our caller here. I found this in Gateway Pundit, and it sort of it goes extending what we were talking about earlier, that the Afghanistan plan is purposeful, that we talk about this being some kind of, you know, horrendous accident of incompetence. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. I think this has always been that it was a planned operation from the start to bring in illegal Afghani aliens to populate this country with Sharia Muslims to destroy our country and to, you know, arm the Taliban. And basically, you know, the nation building that was going on is from, you know, Obama built the nation of Afghanistan for the Taliban, not for us. We fought a 20-year war so that Obama could come in at the last minute and basically destroy everything we did and build their nation for us. It looks like we got Josie on the line. So, hey, you like our new producer call screening feature? What do you
think?
Good
morning. I don't know. She said something and then it went back. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Okay, well,
but anyway,
you're live now.
Good morning.
Yeah.
And did you say, were you saying that the vaccine that they approve is the vaccine that is not even out yet?
Yep,
is
that's
what
I said.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to make that very clear. So they've approved something that doesn't exist to convince people that it does, that the vaccine they are getting is the approved one when it's really the old emergency one. It's the same one they were getting before, but they think they're getting the new approved one when they're really getting the old one because the new one hasn't been made yet. That's what I was saying.
Okay. I just want to make sure that's what you were saying because I haven't seen the news in a couple of days. So.
Oh,
okay,
check my Facebook page. Liberty Council. I think I posted a Liberty Council article, but there's many sources that are all saying the same thing. So you can just do a quick, you know, DuckDuckGo search or, you know, don't use Google because it'll be on page 6. But just look up, and I'll send you some stuff anyway. All right, so here's the thing I found in go ahead. You had a question? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, that's right. You called. Yeah, go ahead.
No, in Afghanistan, they're sending a lot of the refugees to Arizona, and Arizona is not happy at all. The Republicans in
Isn't
Arizona.
Isn't that interesting? You know, because Arizona is a rebel state. They've got an audit.
Exactly.
Huh.
Yeah. This is an agenda. They're trying to send all this, and a lot of these are men. Like I said the other day, they have a plan. I also was watching a video last night. I think it was from Utah or Wyoming, or one of those up north states. There was a train going loaded with so many tanks, so many Humvees, so many of everything, like a lot, transporting it somewhere. There's a lot of movement going around in the United States. Something's about to happen.
Well, there's movement all the time. The highways are part of our national defense force. People don't know this, but the highways have, you know, highways all over this country are engineered to have 2 mile straight stretches. Those are runways in an emergency. So our national highway system is a series of 2 mile runways scattered all over the country. Now, what were the markings on these vehicles? Were they U.S. markings? Were they UN markings? Were they, you know, some foreign nations markings? Did anybody know?
You cannot hardly see it because the train was going so fast. How the guy was videotaping, but he said, "What the heck is going on? You know, what are they doing with so much weapon?" And my other thing was, why did we have so much of everything in Afghanistan?
Well, that's the question I asked.
If we were fighting Russia instead of just a little, you know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense.
That's why I think this is purposeful. This is why I think it was a Taliban gift, you know, by Obama through Biden. You know, and this is, I don't understand why Trump, you know, in the latter part of you know, when Trump was there before the state was, you know, the election was stolen, that Trump left, you know, 2,500 troops there and yet had enough military weapons and helicopters and C-130s, you know, for an army of 100,000 as opposed to 2,500. I mean, so why didn't Trump draw it down? If he drew down the troops, why didn't he draw down the weapons at the same time? That doesn't make sense.
Good question.
Unless he was lied to, by the same people that lied to him about COVID. Well, sir, we better leave that stuff there as a contingency in case something happens, knowing full well Obama was behind, you know, give, it was the Taliban's gift to make that. I mean, he's, Obama has basically remade the nation of Afghanistan in his Muslim image for the Taliban. Yeah. So that's why I think stuff was built. Absolutely. That's why I think the stuff was there. Yeah, that was an. Well, listen to this. This is from Gateway Pundit, August 31st. Yesterday, Joe Hoft, who's the twin brother of Jim Hoft, who runs the thing, is as exclusive. Obama Biden reinstituting program of bringing non-vetted, that's non-investigated folks, illegals into the U.S. and using nonprofits to move them around the U.S. This is why I'm so key on our bill here in Santa Rosa County to make this an illegal alien free zone, and hopefully this will catch on nationwide.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I know you're going to prove it. I mean, let me know what you think of that in just a second here.
I want to
just get
it.
This in. Oh, good. Thank you. You did let me know. Excellent. The article says, in early 2017, as President Trump was stepping into the White House, Obama's policies of bringing unvetted Middle Easterners into the U.S. was in full force. Today, these insane policies are again in full force. Again, this is why this was the plan. This is why, you know, 100,000 Afghanis were brought out and only 5,000 Americans and other Americans were left there. The purpose of shutting down Afghanistan was to flood our country with illegal alien Sharia law Muslims and to give all our weapons to the Taliban so they could take over Afghanistan. That was the plan. That's why Obama says, well, it's a complete success, because it was a complete success once you understand the plan. All right. Article says, in March of 2017, we reported on Obama's policies of bringing unvetted individuals from Middle East countries into the U.S. These individuals are received overnight and sent to states across the union where they are given food, clothing, housing, and passports. The social service agencies, in these states obliged because they would lose their funding if they didn't. Okay. So there was the blackmail. There was the extortion. So the social service agencies have to, you know, feed, clothe, house, and give passports to these illegal aliens that are being brought in under this Obama program. Now, why this is happening in March of 2017, I don't know, because Trump was president in January of 2017. So there's a problem here. And it goes on to say the Biden administration told – this is, I guess, now. The Biden insurrection told refugee organizations to prepare for the arrival of up to 50,000 Afghans without visas. And Wall Street Journal reported on Tuesday, 9 State Department contracted nonprofits that resettle refugees in the U.S. are trying to recruit more staff and volunteers to help process arriving Afghans, according to Wall Street Journal. Some of the organizations said they haven't been told how many refugees to expect or when they might arrive. Wait a minute. 9 State Department contracted nonprofits that resettle refugees in the U.S. are trying to recruit more staff and volunteers? Gene, I need you. Gene, can you tell me which 9 nonprofits are contracted by the State Department? Can you do a quick check for me, please?
Let me see.
Yeah, that just jumped out at me.
Greg,
go ahead, Josie. Yeah.
Greg, it's sad that our military, knowing the headhunter military is over there right now, they should say we're not leaving until we get our people out first.
Instead of bringing
all those refugees.
They can send those
refugees to other countries, Middle Eastern countries. They don't have to bring them here. Why are they coming here? Because this is a plan. This is a plan, and most of them are men coming. And the same thing, a lot of the cartels, a lot of the illegals coming at the border here with Mexico, most of them are men. Because these clowns have a plan, and Americans are still sleeping. They're sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
And I see it. I see it with my own eyes. It's right in your face, and nobody's doing anything. We should be going to the border, all of us Americans, and stop this. And nobody's
no,
doing
actually,
anything.
We are doing
where
something.
Where are the Republicans?
This is where my little chess brain comes into play. Okay, so why would I write a bill to make Santa Rosa County an illegal alien free zone? Why would I do that? Am I doing it just for Santa Rosa County?
Oh yeah, you are. Doing
no.
Something.
I'm doing it for the entire country, okay? I want to put it into people's heads that they can take their county, they can control their county or their city and say, we don't want illegal aliens here. Think of the revolution that's going to cause. What do you think the left's going to do when they find out what we're doing? What do you think is going to happen?
Yep.
Okay? They're going to go apoplectic.
Everybody should follow suit. Everybody should do the same thing.
Right. And what's going to happen when Steve Bannon gets a hold of this and Mark Levin and some of the big hosts out there and Sebastian Gorka, and they hear about this little county in Florida that just created an illegal alien free zone. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to say, you people. Exactly. And they're going to say, well, maybe some other counties might want to do that too. Okay. And we start the ball rolling and we create the model and then we just watch what happens. Cause I know this is the perfect time for Action Radio because people are so pissed off. They are furious that now's the time to do something. And the problem is the rest of the conservative movement is incapable of giving them the ideas for where to put all that energy. That's where Action Radio comes in. We are the ideas factory.
Sure.
We are the place of the inspiration. We are the ones that are putting out ideas that nobody else has ever thought of. And because of that, we're creating the model that all these other folks can pick up. See, we don't have to control what goes on. We don't have to regulate. We don't have to, you know, make, you know, say these are our ideas. You can't, you know, you can't take them. Just the opposite. I want people taking our ideas. I want people using our ideas. I want people implementing our ideas everywhere across the country. I want them figuring out in their county how to do this because every county is going to be different. I want no control over this process whatsoever. I want to let it go. You know, I want to start the snowball rolling down the hill and see how big it gets. But that's not up to me. I just want to start the ball rolling down the hill. After that, it takes on a life of its own. This is why this is going to be so fascinating. We're in uncharted territory here. Nobody knows where this is going to go. I got a pretty good guess because I think I know the American people fairly well. They're going to run with this. You're going to get counties all over the country going, I want to be in the illegal alien zone, you know, free zone too. And here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to get really interesting. The counties are going to do this, and they're going to surround the cities. So the illegal aliens are going to go to the welfare Democrat cities, and the counties around those cities aren't going to want them. And then they're all going to be accused of being racist. It's going to be fascinating. You watch. Let's just wait and see. Because something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen. All right. I found another article here that's going to disgust everybody too. I'm sort of staying away from the election because there's really not that much happening in the election. So this is kind of our sort of general political report. Back to my favorite source, Gateway Pundit, Jim Hoff.
Go ahead,
Gene, what do you got?
One thing I wanted, I'm still looking at that. I'm not getting anything viable for the 9. But anyway, one thing I wanted to say about the election is I read a caption from an article this morning that Paul Ryan said that the 2020 election was won handedly by Biden. And I'm like, well, right there, we know then it's not true because we all know that Ryan despised Trump and Ryan is a rhino and Ryan did nothing for this country. And he's just bitter too because he didn't become vice president.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in fact, there's another one of the articles here, so let's go right to it. Paul Ryan hates President Trump, and Wisconsin Speaker Voss follows Ryan's every wish, Voss pushing phony forensic audit in Wisconsin as a result. Yeah, Paul Ryan was installed as Speaker of the House under the Republican, you know, led Congress for the sole purpose of destroying the Republican-led Congress. He was the deep state person. He was the safety valve. He was the insurance policy that nothing really good would come out of that Congress, and nothing did. You know, because he stopped investigations, he held bills up, he did everything he could to maintain his rhino globalist allegiance. And the sad part about it was that the Republicans let him. They could have voted him out any day. They could have voted him out the first day. They could have voted him out the last day. They could have voted him out any day in between. But they didn't do it because they're geldings. Okay, so you got a Republican gelding party that refuses to lead, led by somebody that wasn't even Republican, or they say Republican in name only. I mean, this guy was an outright communist, as far as I'm concerned, because he has his globalist leaders. It says former House Speaker Paul Ryan reiterated this week that it was clear former President Donald Trump lost the 2020 election, which just as you say, Gene, as GOP leaders in Wisconsin, a state he represented in Congress for 20 years, continued to pursue an investigation and audit of the results. He said it was not rigged. It was not stolen. Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election. It's really clear. Huh. No, it's not. And this was told to Wisconsin's ABC affiliate WISN, I guess that'd be WISN 12, in an interview that was published on Tuesday. So there you go. You're absolutely right. Enemy of the state, Paul Ryan. Gene, did you find any of these organizations? How are you looking it up?
I went to DuckDuckGo and looked up 9 nonprofits helping refugees from Afghanistan come into the United States, and it's not giving me a whole lot.
Try looking up nonprofit assistance to the State Department or nonprofit organizations working with the State Department. Let's make it really general and see what comes up. That might work out better. All right. What else we got here? This kind of fun. Oh, here we go. No, but we've got about 10 minutes left. Jesse, do you have something to add before I go to another article?
Not right now. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Gateway Pundit. I love Gateway Pundit. Arizona audit update report coming shortly due to COVID delay. I find that very interesting. They got COVID all of a sudden. Doug Logan has a fever. Team member released from hospital. And this is Jordan Conradson, August 31st, of course, yesterday. And he says, where does he go? He says, once everybody has fully recovered, they will thoroughly review the report for accuracy, proof of documentation, and clarity before releasing it to the public. So the Arizona audit is basically done. Okay, the fact that people have COVID now, I find highly suspicious. That would be something Democrats would mix COVID people in. But why aren't these people smart enough? They're smart enough to do the election audit. How come they're not smart enough to take their hydroxychloroquine and zinc and get rid of the damn thing? This I don't understand. It says Arizona Senate President Karen Fan told the Gateway Pundit that one member of the team was just released from the hospital on Friday, but they are still quite sick. Doug Logan is starting to feel better, but this weekend he had a temperature of 103, and he will remain isolated until he is no longer contagious. I mean, please, get him the right drugs. You know, I hate to think that we lose somebody on the team. I mean, we know that, you know, there are Democrat-assisted suicides. You know, other things that happen. I mean, we know China gave people COVID and locked them in their rooms until they were dead. I mean, horrible things go on out there. He says the virus has caused a delay, but President Fan said the important thing is we want to make sure this report is complete, accurate, and everybody is using all of their brain cells while they're trying to finish it up. So I think they're going to release it soon, but they better, because no one else is going to do an audit until this is released. And the best thing would be to have it come out, as we all expect it's going to, that it was a fraud election, that Maricopa County votes are discounted, that Trump won Arizona, and they're recalling their electors and putting Trump electors in their place. That's what I'm hoping happens, and that's what they need to do. Gene, how's your search going?
Still nothing that's viable.
Huh. Okay, let me tell you something else that's happening here. Well, you don't have to. I mean, I can look at it later. I don't want to take the whole show and have you do that. If you found something quickly, unless you have a comment, in which case I'll do a quick search and see what I can find. But I just find it fascinating. I want to know who these nine apes. Well, let's do that. Let's do this all together. Josie, if you want to play too, feel free. Let's go. Nine nonprofits who help the State Department.
I believe, though, that...
Okay, one at a time. Gene first and Josie.
Oh, Josie can go first.
Isn't it weird
Josie go first.
That they have the COVID over there?
In Arizona? I don't know. I'm very suspicious, and I wish they would just cure it like we know it can be cured.
The thing is, there's a lot of people that don't know about the hydroxychloroquine. When you say, oh, it's in the news all the time, or, you know, certain news all the
time.
News. But some people just don't really know what they should be doing, and they rely on their medical people to give them, treat them the way they should be treated. And we know that in the hospitals, they're not given hydroxychloroquine and the other stuff because basically they're told that they can lose their medical license, which that should be illegal.
One of the ER nurse, a couple of days ago, he says, yep, we're not giving him the right medication, he told me. You know, and he's a patriot guy, 100%, and he's very upset with this whole thing. And a lot of nurses are telling me the same thing. We're not giving the proper medication so people will get well. And one of my Sunday school ladies, she has, her leg is becoming all red, and she has had x-rays, she has had tests, and nobody knows what's wrong with her leg. And she has to have
she
it elevated now.
She got the vaccine?
Of course.
So
has the vaccine.
Blood clots.
Yeah, they're dying.
Have they tested for blood clots?
Church.
Oh, no.
But it doesn't show blood clots. So I don't know what's going on.
I sent you a video by a doctor who said he mentioned the name of a test, which can test for micro blood clots. It's about the video is only 4 minutes long. And it's about 3 minutes in. He talks about it. Diver, dicer, or something test that tests for micro blood clots. That's something you might want to tell your church, and we'll probably broadcast it. I might even look into it for the show. But take a look at that after the show, and it should be interesting. All right, let's leave the State Department for now. Go ahead,
Joseph. My niece just got COVID. One of my other nieces just got COVID in Miami. And since my niece had the meds that I left over there, 2 days later, she's already feeling well. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I say, do not go to the hospital. Do not. Do not. And she's feeling a lot better already in the second day. So 5 days later, I told her, you should feel a lot better already.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah, it's amazing that we have to tell people, don't go to the hospital. That's the worst thing you can do.
Yep.
They'll kill you. You know, I mean, it's a sad thing to think. Well, no early treatments, as Gene was saying earlier. You know, and this is – everything's backwards here. This whole thing is backwards. But this is what happens when people become obsessed with money and power. They don't care how many people they kill in the process. And then that's how dictatorships start, and that's how – you know, communists, you know, wipe out millions of people. And, you know, all the Ukraine, you know, farm families were killed by Stalin. You know, he didn't care. Gene?
And Greg.
Oh, Joseph, go ahead. All right, one of you
go
start.
Go ahead, Gene. No. I was going to say it's true, especially in this country when for so long, yeah, I really believe that the United States, I mean, and I still believe it's a wonderful place to live, but I did believe that the government was for the people, but the government no longer really is for the people. It's for themselves. And so we, the people, have to start speaking up. We, the people, have to start demanding that the government go back to what it's supposed to be, like our founding fathers wanted it to be. And we can do that, but it's up to us. We can't wait for someone else to do it. Each one of us has to get involved in our own way to make it happen. And that could be running for something. It could be voting someone out. It could be speaking the truth, standing up for what you believe in, whatever it is. But we need to start getting more involved. We need to
We are more involved.
No, but
we're several years into Action Radio.
People need
we'll
to be involved. They can't just rely on one. They can't just rely on you. Everybody has to start doing something. And as I said, even if it's just voting someone out is a way to start.
Hey, 5 million people sharing our show, we can change the world. 1 million people sharing our show, we can change the world. So it's going to get there. But the vast amount of people are going to do the minimum. And the minimum is sharing our show. The people that are actually up at your level, Gene and Josie, at the citizen legislator level, actually writing legislation, participating in it, you know, helping us structure it. And then at the level that David Jones is at, lobbying it, coordinating with legislators, you know, working with Republican groups and different groups to do it. You know, that's the high level. You're the warriors, you know, but at the simple level, just share it. Just share the show.
Right, but I'm not even talking Action Radio. I'm talking about taking back control of our government.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's.
I mean,
that's
Action Radio. It's a good way to start. You know, sharing the show. That's simple.
Ooh.
Just push a button, boom, and share. But we each need to start taking action and not relying on someone else. We need to get our head out of the sand. We need to start doing things because otherwise things are not going to change. And you know what? Well, they are going to change, but they're not going to change in the way that is the benefit to the country and the people at large. Because the bottom line is this, even with this COVID stuff, I mean, what I see going on in the nursing homes is a travesty, and it continues to go on and it will continue to go on. And we need to speak up because they don't have a voice. Because we're running around
Greg.
Fear.
Yeah.
Greg,
Jesse, go ahead. Then I got
a
comment for Gene. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say, you know, when a hurricane is coming, the government tries to prepare you, your leaders. They say, prepare with flashlight, prepare with this, go get plenty of water, go get this. You know, did they prepare us for this COVID once they found out it's here? No. Instead, they took the Lysol away so you don't, spray your house to kill the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell you what kind of a medicines you can get to help your family. You know, this is all well organized. This whole thing is well organized. And a lot of people are in fear. They're panicking. I met this lady in Alabama a couple of days ago that I went and pick up some merchandise. And we stopped to look at a truck that her husband is selling. And the poor man, he's almost dying from the vaccine that he already took. And she goes, he's about to get the booster. And I'm like, you want to booster him into the grave, don't you? And she goes, what? What are you talking about? The booster's going to help my husband. I said, no, it's not. It's going to kill him.
Yep.
So, you know, people are in another world. People are not waking up. They don't see what's really going on. The booster is to make sure you're dead. Because if the first and second one didn't kill you sooner, the third one, it's going to kill you. I don't know. People, I don't know.
It's what we talked about yesterday. The fear that has been generated is causing people to come to all the wrong assumptions, and they're living by their assumptions, and they can't see the truth. So fear creates incorrect assumptions, which create incorrect truths for people, and they can't see the real truths. Like Shelby was saying, you know, people want to, you know, they want to believe. They're believing what they're told, and the problem is they're not questioning what they're told, like we do here. Gina, we're off the air. Actually, we're pretty much done. But Gina, if you want to make a list of things that you want to do to take the government back, I'd be very curious, and feel free to turn that into a little report and see what you come up with. All right, we got to go. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Josie. Thank you, everybody else. David for calling in too. Santa Rosa Volunteers, God bless you too. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenactionYou can help us at patreon.com/actionradio and listen to us in your vehicle by putting Action Radio into your phone browser. Connect that to your vehicle audio, and there we are. And we'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. Start again, Greg. 7 o'clock in the morning Central time. I get confused over that stuff.